Well, welcome to everybody this morning to the service. I definitely found out this morning it's a lot cooler that side than this side, so clearly that's why all of you sitting at the back. Here in front, we're getting the sun, and it's quite hot up here, so it's good nonetheless. So, for those that are visiting us, we've been, even this week, just focusing on God's Word. And the fact that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, we shared last week's sermon around that. And just speaking or focusing a lot on what we say and how we say things during the devotions this week. Now, if you're not on our broadcast group, then you won't get those devotions. But if you went through them, you would realize that, you know, what we do with God's Word is not just fine to study it or read it or, you know, you have to actually speak it. You have to use it. If you don't use the Word of God, if it's not in your mouth, if it's not something that flows from you, it will not have that impact on you. And you know, that last scripture that we look at is death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so many times we actually just say the stuff that we see as reality or relevant or whatever, instead of proclaiming God's Word in that situation. But I guess it's also true, if I don't know God's Word, then I would not know what to say in the situation that I find myself in. And I know even the worship this morning, you know, the love of God for us is of such, He wants to draw us closer. You know, there's one thing that I am secure in is Laurette's love for me. I have no doubt about her love for me. And it's so amazing to know that. And I want you to know this morning that God loves you intimately for who you are. And like the words that came out this morning, you know, sometimes we allow the stuff that we do or don't do, the fact that you're not in church or you maybe don't have your quiet time or you don't read your Bible or, you know, maybe you're really sinning or you're doing something wrong. We allow those things to keep us from actually coming to God. And it's very clear this morning that the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, come. The veil has been torn. I want you to come. So I want to encourage you as you go into this week, is go into His presence. You know, there is that place where you have to lock your door and go, but I'm going to just worship God this morning. It is funny how things shift when we just do something simple like worship Him. And suddenly, the heaviness of your situation, your need, whatever, just kind of disappears. And it's incredible how God just pitches in that atmosphere, in that place. So in the line of speaking God's Word, we want to look at Speak to the Rock this morning. That's sort of my title. And I love this photo because, you know, I think when we read the story that we're going to go into now, we think that when this happened, or sometimes when we speak to our situation, that if I speak to the rock, you know, there's a small trickle coming out. So I love it in the fact that there's abundance. David, there's a little whoop on my mic. I don't know if you pick it up, but it's quite annoying here in front. If you can just fix that for me, I'll appreciate it. So this morning we took some new members in, and I just want to relate to you what the vision of Shofar is, and which we as Shofar Brackenfell submit to, and what we also want to achieve, and that's to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. So we want to reach the nations. We want to reach the generations. And we know we're going to do it through disciple making. Oh, that's a bit low. Leadership development. And nothing's going to change if we don't plant churches, if we don't go into the communities, if we don't reach them where they are. You know, so easily as a church we can say, come here, but maybe we should go there. And for that we're going to plant churches. It is coming. Yeah, amen. Because those that say amen, we're going to send them. Nou gaan Chris nooit weer enigiets sê nie. Hy gaan nou doodstil wees. I say, Chris, ready. You see, when I look at that vision, I realize it's massive. It's a big vision. Reach nations and generations. Just that already. How do we do that? That is a massive vision. In myself, I think, how do you do this? How do I disciple those people? How do I lead, make them leaders? How do I reach them? How do we plant these churches? You know, then you could go into what resources we need, etc. You know, but the amazing thing is when I look at Scripture, I see this is God. Because if I read Scripture, I see that he speaks to Abraham and he says, listen, buddy, your children are going to be as many as the sand of the sea. And I go like, that's a big vision. He says to Moses, lead my people to the promised land. That's a big vision. That's a lot of Israelites. If nothing else, it's tough enough just working with the people in my church. Can you imagine a couple of million of Israelites? And there's no mic, no intercom, no WhatsApp. You know, I can't send out a group message. But I have to lead them. That's a huge thing. Joshua, who takes this land. David, the stuff that God did through him. The promises that God gives him. The disciples, where he says to them, go and make disciples of all the earth. That's not a small vision. And yet we are here today because they obeyed. We are here because the disciples heard Jesus and did what he said. And I know I'm here today because someone else heard Jesus and spoke to me. And here I am. You see, but now he calls us. He calls us to this purpose. In this time, in this season, Corona and all. How are we going to fulfill that which God is calling us? You know, there is that place where we focus on the call of God on our own lives, but then there's the place where we focus on the corporate call. And when the members say, listen, I'm here, then I say, I am there. I'm going to do what needs to be done to make that vision happen. Now, in our lives, we can get so used to how things work. And then when those things suddenly gets challenged or changed, we fall apart. You know, we suddenly go like, why? What's happening here? Life right now is being challenged. You know, what we used to do or can do, and I mean, I'm sure you are the same as me. If I hear the president is speaking and there's rumors of level 2, I want to sommer gooi a tantrum. I'm now so over this, it's not even funny anymore. Okay, so it's just me. All right, no, that's fine. But it's interesting in this season where things are so haywire, how some are really struggling, but others are really prospering. Now, some people are running away from God and blaming God and going, where is God? But yet there's others that are more intimate and passionate about God right now. I guess we have a choice on how we respond to those things that are coming our way. Things that worked yesterday don't work anymore. The way we did things, that it doesn't. And here we see Moses, and we're going to read the story now. No WhatsApp, no internet, no phone calls. He's got these Israelites. And in Exodus 17, he gets to this place, and let's read it. It says, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved from the wilderness of Sin. It always makes me, can we move from sin to blessing? In any case, but from the wilderness of by stages, and according to the commandment of the Lord, and camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Now, that's a crisis. Huh? Most of you can't do even go between tea time and lunchtime without another coffee. All right, so here they are. They are now in Rephidim. There's no water. We are a couple of million people. This is a problem. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses. Hey, leadership stuff. Like he could change it. You know, like he would go like, okay, tarachi, tarachu, poof. You know, there's water. Okay? I mean, that's almost that what happened, but in any case. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. If I was Moses, I would have, where's the door, Lord? Send me, I'm out of here. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? You know, I guess the question is, when we obey God, when God says to us, when we've got an inclination of what God is saying to me about my life, and I'm obeying, I'm walking, I'm now in this journey, and I get to the place that is calling me and there's no water, what do I do? How do I respond? How do you respond? When suddenly you are in this place of obedience and now it seems like God's not there. You know, did I hear wrong? What's going wrong here? Do you fix your eyes on the problem? Or how do you respond in that moment? Now, what does any desperate leader do when you face something like this? There's no water. And the people are going, I'm going to kill you. You do what Moses did. You fall on your knees, you see God's face, and you go like, Lord, help. And that's exactly what he did. In verse 6, it reads, so Moses cried out to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people, which is brave. Context. This is a brave thing to do, to pass before the people, because they want to stone you now. Okay? Taking with you some of the leaders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Now, I guess Moses had a choice here. He could respond by running away, by saying, Lord, that's a lot of people and that's a lot of stones, and I'm not walking in front of them. Or he can obey. And you and me have the same choice, that when God speaks to us, we can either obey or run away. And then it's very interesting that happens next, what God says. He says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. If God says that to you, go strike the rock, will you obey? Firstly, because it doesn't make sense. Where does there come water from a rock? Just if we have to think, you know, if we analyze this whole thing and think through the process. So I'm going to strike a rock and there's going to be water. I guess most of our question would be, but have I heard God? Or will I pass through the in front of the people? Am I bold enough to walk in front of the people and go like, I've heard God? That's not so easy. And the people go like, oh, Moses has lost it again. But what I love about this portion of Scripture is that God says, I will stand on the rock. I will stand there. I'm already going before you. I'm standing on the rock. And when you get there, no worries, Moses. I've got this. A miracle. But are we not like the Israelites who see so many miracles and then we go like, but yeah. God's not going to pitch this time. You know, I mean, come on. This is a rock. There's no water. He's not going to pitch this time. But what I love here is almost like God is saying, listen, Moses, the source of this water is not the rock. It is me who has gone before you. The God who can do anything and everything. So I like, this is not all. This happens again. Israel, same people, moan because there's not water again. And this is in Numbers 20. And God says to him, take the staff. So, like I say, same scenario, no water, people moaning. God speaks to him and says, all right, I need you to do the same thing here again. And so many times, you know, when we in our interaction with God, we bank on that God's going to work the same way he did last year. He says, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to heal its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give to drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took his staff, whoop, before the Lord, as the Lord commanded him. So he's obeying. He's doing this thing. Because he's done this before, right? God has, he's seen the miracle. He's seen God bring water from this rock. Except there's one small thing different between this instruction and the previous one. And sometimes I believe this is where we miss God. As we hear and then we interpret through what we have experienced. My water is getransport. It's the rock. But we bank on what God did last year or the year before that, or that last experience where I prayed and he answered. We think he should do everything the same that he is. But can we put God in a box like that? And here I see God actually taking Moses on a journey where the first time there was a physical action and he says, strike the rock. And this time he says, no, Moses, this is the next one. Just speak to the rock. And God wants to show that there doesn't have to be a physical demonstration from Moses' side for the same result to happen. And then verse 11 happens, and Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. It's like twee keer soveel as last keer, Here. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. How awesome is God that even when we don't fulfill or do exactly what he tells us to do, that he is faithful to be God in our lives. Because God said, speak to this rock and let the water come out. And Moses goes, no, this didn't happen last time. Maybe I heard God wrong. I'm going to strike it again. So that's what he did. And because of that, he did not see the promised land. Which is sad. Because I guess the question in my heart is, how many more miracles would he have seen if he had obeyed? What would have happened if Moses was the one that led the Israelites into the promised land, as God has promised? And he failed to see that because he did not listen to God. See, he banked on past experiences. And I think that for me is the challenge to us. Is, are we going to place God in a little box at this time? To say, you know, maybe he'll do it like he did it before Corona. Or are we in a place where we're going, Father, whatever you say, we will obey. If you say speak, we're going to speak. If you say strike, we're going to strike. We'll do whatever you say, but we're going to take the land. Even if it doesn't look like there's water, even if it looks like we're walking into a desert, even if it looks like you're leading us into nothingness, we'll obey. Because in that environment, you will provide. So just a side note, when stuff like that happens, don't now hoy the leaders with clipper. And that's what Moses is saying. Why are you testing God? Why are you even coming to me? Why are you as a nation not calling out to God and saying, God, but where are you in this time? I guess we can play it the other way and say, okay, but what would have happened if that happened? How would Israel have looked if they Those people said, but let's call out to God. Let's call out fast. Let's pray. Let's see God's face. Instead of wanting to stone Moses and the leaders. I don't know. It's not what happened. See, we need to get past the rock. We need to get past the rock. The thing that is before us, the challenge that's before us, the situation, the issue, even at this time, we need to get past our reality. And we need to see Jesus, the author and the finisher, the God Almighty, standing on the rock saying, but I've got this. See, the provision is not in the rock. It is Him. And you and I have the choice of either looking at Him or looking at this rock. Either trusting in my staff or trusting that regardless what I say or do, He is God. You see, when we speak, we know it's who we're speaking to. We know who is the one that's going to respond when we pursue Him in faith. In a sense, that's what we're trying to do with the coffee shop idea. And just so that you know, we haven't got that down yet. We're not, you know, this is sort of a trial. But in terms of reaching people, in terms of reaching nations and generations, we're going as a church, how do we do different things differently? How do we live out this Christian life, this walk before God? What needs to change to be able to see the lost come to Christ? You see, we can carry on. Yeah, I must be honest. We're one of the few churches that are meeting at this time, but we can carry on just doing this. Or how are we going to reach the lost? They are out there. I don't know if you noticed, but on a Sunday morning now when you drive to church, it's very quiet. I remember a time in my life where Sunday morning was a busy, you know, it was almost like traffic because people were going to church. People looked forward to gathering with the saints, to fellowshipping, to praying together, trusting God together, even on a Sunday, small groups, outreaches. How are we going to do outreaches? How are we going to see God move in our generation, in this time? Are we willing to speak to the rock? Or are we just going to bank on striking it? I guess the question in my heart for myself and for us today, and trust me, I think I said this Sunday or two ago, this is not an easy time to be leading the church. Because no one has been here before that can go, Quibus, now listen to me, buddy. You need to do X, Y, and Z. But how do we lead people through this? How is your life and my life going to lead people through this? Are we willing to trust God? Are we going to believe Him when He says, but there's water? I've already made provision. Are we going to believe Him when He says, but there's lost to be saved? Like I said last week, I think our heart's not to draw other people from other churches. God will add who He adds, but that's not the heart. I think our heart is, can we see the lost come to Christ? And we want to trust God for that. Are we going to believe Him when He says the harvest is ready? You know, we can sit 270 people here when Corona is over. Is that going to happen? I cannot fetch them all by myself. So who's going to go? See, it's we that need to invite people. It's us that need to lead to Christ, the lost to Christ. It's us that need to respond to God's instruction at this time, to be bold enough to walk up to the rock and say, yield your water. And what I'm trying to say is that there's a place where we can just passively wait, or we can blame others. Or we can hear God in this season, in this time, and move forward by faith. and accomplish all that God is calling us to do. I think the last thing that I would hate to happen is that we have to wander 40 years in the desert. You know how long it took me to get to 40? It took me 40 years. It's amazing. You know how long that is? And I'm not lying. When I got to 40, I realized, so they just got out of the desert. That is a long time. You know, God's desire is for you to fulfill the plan for His life, that He has for your life. Do not miss it by disobeying His instruction. When He speaks, hear what He says and obey. And it's as we do that, that we will really see the power of God move. You know, for me, this is kind of just the start. Yes, this church is now, will be 5 years old. Yes, it's been fun. But this is just the start of the impact of the saints in this house on this world. This is just the start. So who will speak to the rock? Or is it just the pastor and the leaders, the elders? It's only them that must speak to the rock. Or are you going to speak to your rock? And are you expecting that waterfall, that water to gush out? So that, can you imagine all the Israelites that had to drink from the water? It couldn't have just been like, you know, 15 millimeter trickle. There was abundance that came forth as He obeyed. And may, as you and I obey God at this time, may we see the gushing waters of His glory and His power and His majesty just flow through into this world. May it become this river, this pool, this dam where people can come and drink. A couple of weeks ago, we were praying and I saw this vision, you know, almost like this dry pond, dumb, like in the desert, you know, when there was water and the soil is cracked and stuff. And it started raining. And this thing started filling up and filling up. And suddenly there was flowers and grass and stuff springing up there. There was birds coming and fish appeared in the water and everything. And, you know, I remember Pastor Heinrich's message when he was here. He said, you know, life brings life or draws life. And I believe God is about to do stuff in our midst. His rain is about to fall upon us as we obey Him. It's that anointing just comes, that the life will come. To a people that are desperate, that are asking questions, that don't know where to turn, that rain is going to fall. The dam is going to fall. And people will meet with Jesus. So are we willing to speak to the rock? I believe God's kingdom is much more than we have right now. It's much more. It's so much more. We need to discover that, saints. We need to walk in it. Can we be the people who speak to the rock? Can we be the people who dare to believe God in this time? Say, Father, we are trusting You to fulfill Your plans. This world is desperate for courageous people right now. And like I say, serving God is an adventure. It is an adventure. So are we going to go? Are we going to go? I think the challenge that we have in the thing, I want to say that I'm scared of, is that we're just happy to sit. And we don't go. But in your life even, if you have to make this message very personal, what is there that you need to speak into? Have you got the Word of God in your situation? Are you like Moses lying before God and saying, Lord, what do You want to do? There's this need. What do You want to do, Lord? How do You want to break through in my situation? That colleague at work that is struggling, How does God want to use you to impact their lives? What does He want to shape and mold through your life? And who are you supposed to lead in this time? Let's speak to the rock. Let's stand.